Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Vicky Dixon. She is a human design specialist. Human design is a very cool concept. I am still learning more about this. I've had a couple people on this podcast talk about it, so I'm kind of wrapping my head around it. But Vicky is on a mission to put an end to the restlessness of quote unquote shoulding on ourselves that we are all guilty of. Everybody's guilty of this. You know, I should do more. I should be better. I should be more assertive or like quieter. You know, I should. And why? That's kind of like the big question. So why do we think that we should do certain things versus like what feels right to us? So we're going to talk about this intuition stuff and also Vicky's journey on how she's built a business teaching stuff like human design. Super excited for this. How you doing today, Vicky?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah. Pumped for this. I'm grateful to have you here. So let's get into your story a bit. I do want to hear, you know, first, what made you decide to become an entrepreneur in the beginning? Why didn't you just decide to just work in a job or do something a simple life? You know, what made you decide to take the path? And then how did you get into doing what you're doing now, like human design and getting paid and coaching people with human design? Tell me the story.
Okay. Well, how did I become an entrepreneur? What drew me to it? My very first business, I'll put that in air quotes, was making Barbie doll dresses out of Kleenex when I was 5 and trying to sell them to the neighborhood boys. So I just always had something in me that called me to entrepreneurship. Just always. And I'm trying to think like how much of the story is the story. I did try to have a job. I did try to do a job. You know, we all do the teenager thing where we have a job. I did that, worked my way through school for sure. And then when my kids were old enough to go into school, I did try to have a job, but it just didn't sit with me. I just needed to do my own thing. And that's actually very much my human design, is just following my own path, doing my things by design. I went through burnout. I did have a retail store for about 15 years and I went through burnout, a pretty nasty burnout. All burnouts are nasty, but manifesting generator burnouts are especially nasty. That's human design speak. So that led me back to school. I went back to school when I was 42, studied nutrition and all of these things. And again, was always building on an entrepreneurial journey. I was always building something. And that's part of my human design as well. So, somewhere along the line, human design started to call to me, but it was weird. Like the languaging is weird. The chart looks weird. All of the things look weird. And I didn't really start living it for a few years. And then once I started living it, it's like it gave me permission to be who I needed to be. And at that time I had a nutrition practice, a holistic health practice. And all of the women that I was dealing with were struggling with unfulfilled expectations. It was the thing. It's like they didn't feel on purpose. They never felt on purpose. And I discovered that by leaning into our human design, we really could discover our purpose, our highest gifts, all the ways we're conditioned away from ourselves, and started to use that there, and then gradually transitioned over into full-on human design practice.
Wow. Very cool. I always love hearing the transitions and journey people take. So I love that question. I am curious, you know, human design, what was kind of your epiphany of like when you discovered it and realized, oh, this is cool? Like, was that when you were in your nutrition stuff, and how long were you studying it until you started coaching it?
It was actually, so I was in a couple of business coaching programs where I was the student in a couple of business coaching programs, and it kept coming into my field. And then I had a partnership business. We opened actually on, yes, I have done a lot of things. That is my design. we opened this partnership business on March 7th, 2020, and then the world shut down. And then a week after we reopened in June, my oldest friend, who was one of the partners, she died suddenly of an aneurysm. And she was 49, or she was a month from her 49th birthday. And all of a sudden it was like, what the heck am I doing here? You know, I was about to turn 49 as well. And it was about that time that the human design thing just kept coming up. You know how the universe just throws things into your field over and over and over again. And you kind of have to be hit over the head with it sometimes anyway. that's what human design was for me, because I kept being exposed to it, but it wasn't landing with me. I didn't really still really get it. And then I discovered human design for business. I went into a human design for business program for my own business to get my own show together. And because I thought I needed to stick to one thing and all of that messaging that we get. And the more I got into it, the more I was like, oh my gosh, I need to study this. I need to go deep into this rabbit hole and figure this out, because it just was full on permission to be all of me, because my whole life has been about being conditioned to be less intense, you know, being conditioned to be softer and to be, you know, don't say what you really mean. And what does it look like to other people, and all of those things that many of us have that conditioning or other conditioning. So human design was just this full on permission slip to do things my own way. And then in that business program, somewhere along the line, I was just like, hey, how do I get certified in this? So I went into Karen Curry Parker's program and did all four levels with her in a mastermind. And I started working very early with clients. Like, I only had, I think, two levels of human design. And I brought my people with me. I know that a lot of what you do on the podcast is talk about how we have built our businesses. And one of the things that I did very early on was bring my people, my existing people, my email list, my subscribers, all that with me on this journey and say, hey, this is this thing that I'm adding to my business. Do you want to come with me? And just started to gradually take baby steps and grow it really, really early on in my training.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that you mentioned that too, because that's what I did. You know, I've said this many times, but I was in construction, went into general life coaching, and then I switched to productivity and then ultimately Profit Your Knowledge. So I've been through a lot of different pivots and changes, and it's like listening to what feels right to me. And it's funny you mentioned earlier about it like intuition and the universe or life, it gives us these little nudges of like, you should do this. You should do this. And it's nice and loving. And if it's like really serious about this, it turns into a baseball bat and it's like, you need to do this. So that's kind of what I was feeling. But I made a whole video that was private. It was just for my email list and my audience when I made a transition into Profit Your Knowledge, and I explained the story and the journey. And I think it's cool because there are people unsubscribed. They're like, that's not what I'm into. Cool. Goodbye. I hope you had a good time while we were hanging out. But then a lot of people stayed with me and then they purchased new programs and things like that, you know, and got into it. And I was always kind of interested. I always wanted to do what I do now, but I never felt like I had enough kind of credibility. So when things started working in my life and I started helping other people do it, then I was like, okay, I feel more confident in doing this. And that's what kind of gave me the confidence to ultimately do it. But I mean, realistically, you can start, you know, if someone listens to this and they're like, I love human design, I read a lot about it, but I haven't started my business yet. Like, it's okay to start your business and just start teaching what you do know about it. And the more that you learn, the more you can evolve into it. Cause there's a lot to human design, to online business, to any field. You can go so deep into it. So I think that's really interesting. And then a handful of those people, I mean, a good amount of them probably were just interested in the human design. They saw the value in it. And then they started to decide to work with you, or how'd you kind of get your first set of clients with the human design stuff?
Yeah, from my list. And it's like you said, like so many people stop themselves because they feel like they don't know enough, or they feel like they're not ready. You know, it's this eternal process of trying to get ready to be ready. It's like you're ready where you are. So I started to bring my people with me. I mean, my email list probably was about 5,000 at the time. And like you said, some people dropped off. But I have people who have been with me through every iteration of my career for almost 30 years. They've been on my email list. Like, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. When I was like just single, well, I mean, 30 years ago, we didn't have email, but they were in my store with me as real people then. And, you know, they were frequent buyers and they were doing all the things. And then they've come with me all the way along the way. So that's where my first customers came from. My first clients as human design people, that's where they came from. And same thing, I invited people to opt out. A lot of people stayed. A lot of people stay now. I work mostly with entrepreneurs, and there are a lot of people who stay with me who respond to almost every email who are not entrepreneurs, but they're just kind of along for the ride with me.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. So in the little introduction, something that you talk a lot about is helping people put an end to shoulding on ourselves. Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
Because I think we all have a running list in our heads of what we should be like, you know, we should be quieter, we should be more assertive, we should be doing it this way, we should be doing it that way, especially in the entrepreneurial space. I mean, I cannot tell you the number of coaches that have tried to make me into a coach. And it's like, I'm not built for coaching. I don't like coaching. I love consulting. I love people coming in and just, but you know, we get pushed into these pathways of doing things that don't really feel like they're us. And somewhere inside of us, something is telling us, this isn't right for me. This isn't right for me. This isn't right for me. But we feel like we should be doing it. So I mean, that's even in real life too, not just in the entrepreneurial journey, where there's always something else we should be that we're not.
Right. Relationships. Yeah. Working in a corporate job, like anything.
Yeah. Parenting.
Parenting's
all
a big
of the
one.
Things.
Yeah. Or not being a parent too. This is really interesting. I just saw, this is actually really interesting. I just saw a post on Instagram and it was about how Seth Rogen just like waves the flag. He's like, I don't have kids. I don't want kids. I'm 40. I'd rather just lay in bed and smoke weed. And that's what he wants to do. And it's funny reading the comments because I was like, this is going to be a fun discussion. There's so many hundreds of thousands of comments. And it was so mixed of people being like, good for you, dude. Like, you know what you want. You know what you like to do. You're successful. Whatever. And then there's other people who are like, you're running away from your responsibility. It's like, but it's not really his responsibility to have a kid, you know?
No.
And my girlfriend and I, we don't have kids, but we go back and forth and we're kind of at that age where that age range where it's something to be considered, you know? And it's a huge decision. And so many people are just like, I should do it because you should. But it's like, why? They never stop and ask, like, do you really need to though? You know, I just think that whole conversation is crazy, but I love what you're talking about. The shoulds, we should do this because society tells us what's right, what's sexy, what's attractive, you know, what's the best way to run your business and all that kind of stuff. Can you tell me about a time when you really faced an I should do this, caught it and then changed it and what happened afterwards?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask me a time when I didn't catch it. That would be so much easier to answer all the times that I haven't caught it.
I mean, you can start with that.
Well, I almost put us into bankruptcy when I closed my store. That's a time that I didn't listen to my intuition and catch it in time. Mm. So yeah, I had a lot of people telling me that I should sell my store when I had woke up one morning and decided that I was going to close it because it was so successful. Why wouldn't you sell it? So I did the thing that I should do that made sense to other people and tried to sell it and ended up almost putting us into bankruptcy. And like, I mean, I know that everything is a part of the journey and it became a beautiful thing, but it was something that I wish I didn't have to drag my family through for sure. But a time when I stepped away from the shoulds, I feel like I do that a lot now. Knowing my human design, I feel like I do that a lot now because there's a lot of pressure in society. So in my human design, I am someone who multitasks and does lots and lots and lots of things. I'm the Energizer Bunny and people look at my life and they go, oh my God, you're busy all the time. And I'm not, I'm really not. Like I intentionally have pockets of time in my life where I build my business, but I'm never going to be that business owner or that entrepreneur who sticks to one thing. And the conditioning to focus on one thing is massive in the entrepreneurial space. And that's just never going to be who I am because it doesn't feed my soul. Like right now I own 3 businesses and I contract into another business as a copywriter. So, I mean, the chances of me doing one thing. So I'm able now to say, no, that's okay. You just keep that belief that you have about business and I'm going to do it my way over here. So I find that I have to catch myself on that often because there's a lot of people telling me and any other person who's built like I am that we should be sticking to one thing. It's like, no, don't ever do that if that's not your thing.
If it's not your thing, that's the key
word. If it's not your thing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because I am very much, well, I don't do just one thing. I think that's kind of challenging to like putting all your eggs in one basket. It totally depends on you though. Cause I know some people are like, that's it. Then other people know. I am a big on the few things that provide the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. And if it's 3 things, it's 3 things, but as long as it's simple, that's what works for me. And, I know what those things are because of trial and error and listening to my intuition and trying things. But yeah, I know what it's like. I mean, I've hired plenty of coaches and it's like beating a dead horse or it's like shoving a square peg into a circle hole. And it's like, I'm the pig. I'm like, this isn't working, dude. And, Yeah, I remember like I hired this one coach. I made a video on my YouTube channel about it. But it's like how I made this huge mistake, and it was about investing in myself. And it was my dad's money. It was this whole thing. I had to pay him back, which luckily I learned how to make money so I could pay him back. And this coach was having me basically like cold DM 100 people a day. Ouch. It felt so out of alignment for me. I'm like, this is not my thing. You know, I do not want to do this. I dread it. I am like shaking, sending a message because it doesn't feel right. And they're like, no, just keep doing it. My Facebook account was getting shut down. So they're like, oh, it's okay. If that happens, go over to Instagram. And if it happens there, go over to LinkedIn. And it just felt so wrong. So we stopped the engagement with the coach. And I was thinking, what feels right to me? Came up with my own thing. I tried it and it ended up working. Just thinking, this feels like it'll work. And it feels fun for me. And I think part of it too, I mean, you're a copywriter. So I've taken copywriting courses, and something I've learned with copywriting, I think it applies to everything, is that when you have fun writing your copy, it shows in the copy.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the same thing with outreach, with marketing, with making videos or speaking on stages. Like if you're having fun, it just shows. And then people, it's just a way different energy, and it's just a big game of energetics.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
So what is your human design? And like, I don't know. I've heard all these different terms of like what theirs is. Can you kind of simplify it just for people and explain what yours is and why?
Sure. So what is human design specific? And then mine?
Yeah. Like what are the different types of human design? How many are there?
Sure. Well, there are five types, four or five, depending on who you ask, but one is a subtype. So there's a projector, a reflector, a manifester, a manifesting generator, and a generator. So it just, and human design, I like to say that it gives you your path of least resistance to do what you came here to do. And that doesn't mean that you're doing it in a lazy way. It means that you're leaning into your own energy and how your energy will be received in the world. You're using your aura, speaking of energetic terms, we're using your aura to interact with the people you're here to interact with. So, you know, in the instance of that coach telling you to do it this way, immediately my head went to, what's your profile? Like you need to show up as your profile. Like human design really shows you the role that you need to play in the movie of your life, which if you're playing the role that you're here to play, then you're going to interact with the people you're here to interact with, and you're going to bring them into your world, and you're going to do it without burning yourself out, or I would say breaking your life. You're going to be able to scale your business without giving up all of the things that are important to you. I think that's the most beautiful gift of human design.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I think that, you know, with my clients, because I've been the coach, I will not lie, who has been the coach where it's like beating a dead horse. I've been that guy, you know, and I've refunded people coaching. It's happened because it just wasn't right. And it felt right to give them their money back. They were like, I didn't think you'd actually do it. So they sent me half the money back. And I was like, that's cool, which was awesome because I had integrity. But even with my coaching clients that I'm working with, they explain how they want to do something. And I mean, there's certain things that are really important, I feel, when it comes to kind of the flow, like certain boxes you really should check off, but how you decide to do it, I think I always give people, I'm like, do what feels right. Like make it make sense to you, you know, just understand that if you do it this way, it could lead to increased workload and this kind of stuff, you know, it maybe isn't really worth it and these kind of things, but we create something together and it's more of a mastermind instead of me just saying, being the dictator, you have to do this way, because that's what worked for me or something. You know what I mean? So I always give people the creative freedom to adjust it. I think that's really big. And then they find their own way, because that's how I've always grown.
Yeah. And I think it's important too, what you said about how, like, you still have to have a strategy in place. I actually just kind of wrote a ranty post that I'll soften after, but
about a little how, aggressive.
Yeah, a little aggressive. Yeah. Story of my life. In energetic circles, lots of times, or spiritual circles, lots of times, or human design circles, lots of times, it's this thinking that you can just lean on the energy and the energy will take you there. And maybe, but I mean, I think you still need, I have learned that you still need to have a strategy in place.
Totally.
So you still do all of the things, but you just lean into it in a way, like what you were saying, that feels right for you. Do these three things and do them your own way, but just get the things done.
Yeah. I think that just understanding even that concept, you don't even have to go crazy into human design. I understand intuition, which sounds very similar to human design. It sounds like a piece of it. But I think that as a coach, and if you listen to this and you have clients and you're teaching them a process, part of it is just getting them the results. And some people just need to change things up a little bit to work for them. But as long as you have that overarching strategy where it's like, you need these couple pieces and you kind of give them the path, but they can do the path how they want to do, you know? And I think that that's, it's like with anything really, but let's say tennis or any sort of sport, it's the same game. The same rules apply to the game, but how someone plays the game and their style is very different from another player, but they can both be just as good as each other. But the way that, like, X Games, I think snowboarding or motocross, like freestyle motocross, I love it, but they, different riders have way different style, but they're doing the same tricks, you know, like a cliffhanger, all these different things. And part of their scoring is based on the style and like the flair that they have. So each person has a different level of flair, flexibility, and that's them bringing themselves to the same process, but they're all doing the same tricks. And I feel like that's very similar. So giving your clients the room and flexibility to kind of have their own style and flair, but still following that strategy, I think it's just going to make you a better coach.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be great if instead of as entrepreneurs, we tried to be like everyone else on Instagram or wherever we were hanging out, that we just were judged on our own flair and our own style, how much of it we can bring to our content. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
If we actually started showing up as ourselves en masse, we'd change the world.
Well, I think that when you start doing it, then what makes it so powerful is, like we talked about earlier about the energetics, is that it just feels like when you're being real and authentic and really being you and not putting on a show, people just intuitively pick that stuff up. Mm-hmm. And when you're really exuding authenticity, then people feel it and they're more magnetized to it because it feels real in a world of fakeness and deep faking. Yeah.
Yes.
I think AI, it's crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. That stuff's, I think that is huge stuff. Mm-hmm. So did you say what kind of human design you are? What is it?
Sorry, I'm a manifesting generator. So I'm a manifesting generator. About 33% of the population are manifesting generators. What does it mean? You might be a manifesting generator if you've ever been told to calm down, you've ever been told you're doing too many things at once, you've ever been told to stop multitasking.
Sounds familiar.
Definitely. Yes. We're meant to live life in response to things. So what feels lit up to a generator or a manifesting generator is the universe is always giving us things to respond to. And like you literally, when you talk about intuition, you can feel it in your body, how you're excited and drawn to something. It's so crazy as a generator, a manifesting generator, who's really on purpose and living according to their design. It's just a magical way to live. You used the word magnetic a few minutes ago, and it's like you are really magnetizing the right experiences to you so that you can respond and do what you came here to do. Generators are kind of intense.
Sounds kind of like me. People think I'm very intense. So, I mean, I'm not going to deny it. So, that's cool. So, yeah. And I feel like I don't do like full human design, but I feel like that is kind of like me. Things that you mentioned about that, I can definitely see those sort of traits in me. And I'm definitely very in tune with my intuition. It's always getting more in tune with it, but I feel pretty connected to something. And when I'm excited about something like that and it just feels right, like I can really feel it. So when you said that, I was like, ooh, that might be me.
And probably work until you drop if you're excited about it.
You know, actually I did, but now I don't. Because I set my work hours and I'm very methodical and structured, very much as how I work. So I give myself work hours and I do not stray far from those work hours. I may go over a little bit, but I stop. And then I just chill because I've just gone too far too many times and it's not really worth it. And I think the best way to work fewer hours, which is what I'm all about, and still growing your income, is to give yourself fewer hours to work. Because if you just work fewer hours, and you can work fewer hours, but you're also going to be forced to figure things out to be productive in those fewer hours.
Yeah.
Because we waste a lot of time.
You can't get yourself distracted if you only have a certain amount of time.
Yeah. It's like I have 30 minutes to do this or an hour, but it could take me 3 hours, but like if I buckle down and do it, I will get it done. And it's Parkinson's law. So yeah, that's a whole different topic for a different day. But what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about getting started with like human design? Where do they go? How do they kind of figure out their human design and then how to use that?
Well, you can run your chart on my website. You can go to my website and just run it for free. And it's actually free. You don't have to put your email address in if you don't want to. If you want to put your email address in, you get the email series that tells you all about your own human design. You can also, I mean, Google is your friend. You can Google human design and find it that way as well. And just,
I would take
it takes a while. Yeah. It takes a while to get on to actually living your design, just like anything else new that you learn. So I always tell people, like, just pick one tiny piece and start to live that for a little while and then go on to the next thing. Just let yourself be guided into what's right for you. Trust yourself for a change.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's huge. What kind of advice do you have for someone who wants to, because a lot of it too is intuition. I mean, that's what you're saying. It's just trusting what feels right to you. Mm-hmm. And I think that I don't like when people say, don't trust your gut. Because I think that that's like your intuition. There's a reason that it's saying that. And it's like, oh, it led me to something negative. Well, maybe it did for a reason.
Yeah.
Maybe that negative thing was because it was actually going to help you. And it's just the right thing. And it's uncomfortable, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know? So what kind of advice do you have to listen to your intuition? How can you spot that like voice of truth rather than voice of kind of the ego is another comparison to it, kind of the dark side? How do you distinguish the two?
Well, I don't think your ego is the dark side, for one thing. I think that our ego is there to keep us safe. And yes, we can get into darkness in a lot of areas, but I think that our everything about us is always trying to keep us safe, right? We're here to try to survive. There are different authorities, we call them in human design. There are seven different ways to lean into your intuition. So you said you feel it in your gut. I feel it in my gut, but not everybody feels that. Some people need to talk out. That's how their intuition guides them, is they actually don't know what they actually really think about something until they hear themselves speak it. Some other people, it's all about the power of their will to make decisions. Some other people, it's about their emotions. They have to feel through things. So it's understanding for you what your body actually, what your body wisdom actually is. And it's going to be different for everybody. So you don't have to, just because I feel it in my gut or James feels it in his gut, you don't have to feel it in your gut if that's not a thing for you. But I think the invitation is to start to understand where it lives in your body, because we've been like right from the time we are little, we are turned away from our intuition. We are taught to trust people outside of ourselves instead of what we know to be right. So you've probably had a lot of years of not trusting your intuition. So just starting to think like, whoa, where, what is that? I mean, some people hear a little voice, so it could be something different for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's huge, and just pinpointing it. And I think that if you feel these nudges, just follow it and just get curious. If it says, if you always go left to work and you just feel a sense that says go right.
Yeah.
You're like, why would I do that? I don't know. Just try it. See what happens. I mean, sometimes you can get, I had that one time and I ignored it. And unfortunately I got pulled over, but I wasn't gonna do anything crazy. It was just like weird timing. You know, and I was just cruising, just happened to be a little over the speed limit. I was like, oh, and I got pulled over. I'm like, I thought back, what if I went left instead of right? Because my intuition.
That's so cool when that happens. Yeah. They just get this like,
well, it's not cool getting a ticket, but yeah. No.
If you had listened, it would have been cool.
Right. For sure. Yeah. No. So I think that's awesome advice. And then you're going to get more familiar with it, and you'll notice that things start working in different ways. And then you can fall back on that more and more. And that's going to help you as an entrepreneur massively. It's been huge for me and I still do it to this day.
Yeah.
So Vicky, based on your career, what is something that you wish someone would have told you early on about entrepreneurship and this?
Oh, about entrepreneurship.
Or just in general, if you got something else.
I think just to trust yourself. I think just like of all of the times in my life that I look back and I go, wow, like I knew. Why didn't I just trust myself? I think that, and just giving myself permission to stand in all of me, to be like, this is who I am and this is what I'm here for. And then just leave the rest, like let the chips fall where they may. And I'm not saying be a horrible person or anything like that, or be inconsiderate. I'm just saying, just stand in your power, own who you are and let it be okay. Stop shooting on yourself. I should it on myself for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Vicky, it's been great getting to know you. We're going to come in for a landing. Where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Sure, I have a podcast. It's Unjaded for Human Design for Intentional Entrepreneurs. So that's a really easy way to dive into your human design. There's loads of content there. I have a free workshop week coming up the end of this month that's all about writing content in the voice that you're here to speak in. And then my website is just my name, VickiDixon.com. All the goodies are there.
Awesome. We will put links down in the description for the listener. I think the big
Thank you.
message here, of course, the big message here and takeaway and refresher, if you have a refresher here, like I have, is just listening to yourself and trusting yourself. And if a coach is telling you something and or anybody for that matter, but it's not really feeling right or in alignment, it's okay to speak up and to stick with how you're feeling and explain that. And just like, I feel like this, and I think that if you are a coach and you're working with clients, that's going to help you be a way better coach because everybody's on the journey finding their own way and they have their own kind of style or flair to it, or way of doing something. And if it feels in alignment with this person and they're still kind of checking the boxes and the important things that are important with whatever you're teaching, then like let them do it. Do a little experiment. And I think that business and life is just a series of experiments, but that'll help you. I've noticed personally with my clients that they start to have way better results when I started doing that. Just giving them some freedom instead of like confining them into a little box that I think is going to work because it worked for me. And it's like they like the strategy, which is why we're working together. But they have a little bit of a different way of doing it. And that's totally fine. Let them do it. So trust yourself. That's a big thing. I hope we got inspiration from this episode. Most importantly, please do something with this. Implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We will see you in the next one.